Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's Open Forum show. My name is Mark Kohler with my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, in the house. Matt, how are you
in
doing?
In the house, baby.
You ready to?
I'm so good.
All right. Okay.
I'm good.
Now,
the government shutdown is over,
yeah.
So we can get to business.
Yeah, we're going to shut down the Open Forum show, but we thought, nope,
yeah.
This is an essential service.
It is. We were going to shut it down over a wall or something, or a fence with our neighbor. I don't know.
That's right.
But,
right.
You know, here we are.
Here we are. And a couple little welcome items. If you haven't listened to our show before, we try to field every 3 weeks. We do an open forum live show. If you listen to other podcasts and wonder why this sounds like we're in a bathroom or a garage or out on the street, it's because we're live, baby. There's no editing. This is real. This is it. This is your crappy AM radio. So we're here for you. Matt and I are both attorneys. Matt's a tax lawyer in the area of specialization regarding retirement accounts and self-directing. I'm a CPA as well and help with small business tax strategies. We help clients all over the country set up entities, maintain their structures, and go from there. Matt, we're getting a little feedback from you already, so just FYI.
Already?
Whatever you're doing. Yeah, I don't know if you're shaving
I was just getting excited. I was just getting excited to say something. I was going to just add, in addition to being lawyers and all those other things, that we're also just two heck of a good guys, you know? Just two good dudes trying to spread some knowledge on the podcast waves, you know? That's just who we are. It's the type of people we are.
Okay, well, that's a bold statement. I like that self positive affirmation. That's good. So,
yeah.
Okay, now for those listening right now live, you have obviously either went to the website and clicked on the Blog Talk Radio link, or you may have called in on your phone. If you're listening through your computer and have a question for us, you need to call in and then mute your computer. There'll be about a 1 or 2 second delay. We have a high-profile screener making sure that Matt doesn't swear. He's got a Tourette's issue, and so we want to make sure. I'm just joking. There's no swearing going on. This is totally PG.
That was very PG-13.
Anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
it's
but anyway,
you don't need to turn it off if kids are in the car or anything. It's cool.
Yeah. Kids love the show. Puts them right to sleep. 646-668-8326. I'll repeat that for those that want to dial in. If you're listening through your computer and have a question for us, it's 646-668-8326. For those that are dialed in live, if you have a question, you need to press the number 1 on your phone and we'll get a little ping that you have a question. Our 32-person studio staff will reach out to you, or Matt or myself, and and get your name and where your first name and where you're from, and we'll have you out on the show for your question. Live callers get priority, and we've got a bunch of email questions. Oh, Matt, you had a little disclaimer for our email questions. You wanted to throw out for us?
Yeah. Man, we got a lot of questions, which is awesome. We really love getting the questions. Just our process is we're trying to get the most relevant to everyone questions. I have a question about self-directed IRAs, UBIT tax, and tax in Paraguay. which I don't know if we're going to tackle on this show. But we're still going to try and send these around to the other five lawyers. With, you know, between the five lawyers in the firm, we're going to try and get you guys a quick answer on some of these, get you in the right direction. Sometimes we have a blog article we can share. But I'll just say this on the questions. If you are in paragraph 3, question 4, subpart C, that's really a consult. Okay, that's not a good radio show question. Everyone else is like, I'm not really interested in the answer to this yet. So, but I don't want to discourage anyone's questions. Just send them. I just want to let you know what we're doing on our end.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us, yeah, totally good. And if you're listening to us after the fact, so you're not catching the show live or have the time to send in a question, send it in anytime. Put open forum question. You email Matt or myself, so it's Matt at kkoslawyers.com, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkos, as in Sorensen, lawyers, lawyers.com. Send in an open forum question. We put them in a little hopper, a little folder on our Outlook or Gmail, and if we can cover them on a show, great. If not, like Matt said, we'll send it. We have five associates working for us. These are great attorneys that can take a few minutes and respond. And if they recommend a consult, people spend a little money for a half an hour and say, hey, what can you do for me? We want to always save you 10 or 20 times whatever you pay us. And that's what a good small business tax lawyer should do. So we'll make sure we get a response to you. We'll do our best. Some of you that in the last few weeks or months have sent in a question and you're like, hey, I never got a freaking email. What are you, what is this? This is a new policy we're trying. So if you missed one of your questions in the past, resend it, you know, give us a shot. We'll do our best. So, all righty, Matt. Well,
should we get this party started?
Yeah, let's get the party started. We didn't have to pay royalties. We could play that song. So, just gonna say
that was a great song. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, think we need a new intro song. Actually, I want to do that. Tag team. You know, tag team back again. Remember that hit? I mean, it'd just be kind of cool for us, me and you. You know, like tag team. I don't know.
You know, the problem with people, you don't know this. Matt and I. Yeah, Matt and I. There's a generational gap here. Obviously, from the show, you can tell I'm a little more mature and older. And so I grew up in the 80s. Well, Matt grew up in the 90s. So sometimes he'll reference a song or a movie. I have no clue what he's talking about, and vice versa. So we're trying to.
I've had the
–
yeah. But, yeah. So you know that song, right? You know what I'm talking about. Don't play cool. Like, you don't know that song. I don't remember who did it, but it was a – All right. Okay.
Tag team song. I don't know the tag team song. I don't.
Okay. I'll get it fired up for a little bit later in the show.
Okay. Was it Bon Jovi?
No.
Okay, I'm just throwing that out. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Matt. Well, why don't you field our first question? Okay. You field our first question, and I've got some callers I need to get in the hopper here. So you tell us what this question is, so I might comment after I come back.
All right, this is about 401k loans. So Jermaine wrote in and said, there's several businesses online that offer to set up 401k plans for a fee, and he references some competitors of ours, which is fine. I mean, you know, but of course you're going to go here for the real answers and correct information. Would you set up solo 401ks, Jermaine? Let us know. But he said, he says, these sites are referencing a provision where you can take 50% of your investments, your 401k, I think we're referencing, up to a maximum of $50,000, and you can loan yourself money to do whatever you want personally with no questions asked by the IRS. What are the rules these websites refer to? Are they legitimate programs? The good news is, yes, that is reality. Almost any 401k, even if you're working at, you know, Microsoft and you got the Microsoft 401k plan, or you're an employee at Dunder Mifflin and you got the Dunder Mifflin 401k plan, or you've got your own solo 401k plan. Almost every 401k plan, including solo Ks, allows you to do what's called a participant loan. Now, a participant loan lets you take out half the balance of your 401k. So if you got a $200,000 401k, you can take out half the balance, but not to exceed $50,000 total. So if it's 200 grand, you're going to get out 50. If your 401k is 40 grand, you can get half the balance, not to exceed 50, which in that case would be 20 grand. So you have to balance not to exceed 50 grand total. You loan it to yourself. You have to pay it over 5 years back, and you pay it back to your 401k. But you can use the money for whatever you want. You want to go to the Super Bowl, knock yourself out. You know, you want to go start a business or fund some education. Those are greater things and smarter things to do. You can also do that. Now, keep in mind, this 50 grand, if you took out 50, is going back to the 401k. And it's nice because it's building back your 401k. That interest, you are going to pay interest on it. You pay prime plus 2%. That interest is going back into the 401k also. So it's a cool strategy. It's a great way to get money out of a 401k. You can't do that in an IRA, but you can do it in a solo K. We've had a lot of clients we've helped do that, and I do have a blog article on that. If you go to SDIRAhandbook.com, my website, I do have a blog article. If you just search solo K loan on there or 401k loan, I got the rules, what needs to be in the note and the program and interest rates and process.
I love it. And Jermaine, a couple final comments is, first, we have a streamlined 401k setup under $500. If you don't need a consultation and you just want to get the documents and the package and the binder and get going. And then we have one for about $997, something under $1,000, where an attorney will give you the handholding you need with a couple calls through the process so that you can be squared away. So if any of you need a 401k, just call our main number at the law firm. And this is a fully self-directable. You can contribute right now in 2019 and get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
The second point I want to make is regarding the Super Bowl. I'm going to give you guys a spoiler alert. I had a vision, and I'm going to tell you how the Super Bowl is going to play out right now. So if you want to make your bets, this is almost a sure bet. I will guarantee that the LA Rams in the fourth quarter will be up anywhere from 3 to 6 points, and there'll be about 2 minutes left, and Tom Brady's going to get the ball and the Patriots, and they could be on the 5-yard line. They could, and they got to go 95 yards. But I will just tell you right now, I'm going to ruin the Super Bowl for you. Tom Brady will go the entire 95 yards and score right before the end of the fourth quarter and win the Super Bowl. That's how it's going to happen. I hate to tell you. And
I've had that vision. Many of us have seen that before, actually.
Oh, he's a master. He's a master. Okay.
I know.
We got a live call here.
Love or hate him, man. Dang.
I know. He's amazing. All right. So this is Jazania, and she's from Hawaii, but visiting Tennessee. So I saw her 808 area code, and so I was like, I thought we had a Hawaii caller from Hawaii, but she is down in enjoying his Tennessee Christmas, maybe. That's the Judds. I'm just going to throw that out. Jazania, welcome to the show.
Hi there. How's it going, guys?
Excellent. Thanks.
Good, good.
What's the question?
By the way, good question for us?
See? And by the way, it's by twice. The band's called Twice as Nice, or the group, you know, Twice as Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Ah, thanks for that.
Oh, man. Okay, what do you got for us?
So I obviously I have a real estate business, right? And I have lenders that lend to me for my projects. And I have a particular lender that he's great. He's been lending with me for many years, but it's large sums, right? Large sums of money that he had. He just had in his regular bank. He didn't bring it out of a 401k or Roth or anything like that. But now he's at the point where, like, hey, Jess, how can I put myself in a situation where I'm not getting killed every year when you give me this wonderful interest that you give me? So I'm just trying to find out if there's any way, the right way to set him up so he has better tax savings when I do pay him out every year. I've never had anyone ask me this, so I'm just trying to find out a good solution for him.
Okay.
Well, isn't this a nice question, huh?
Yeah, and Jasania, we'll take your question now, and there's a little bit of a delay between your Hawaii phone in Tennessee and here in Phoenix and Idaho. So there, so we're going to just put you on mute and answer that question. I think that's a great one. And Matt, this is right up your alley. I can see where you're probably going to go.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good question. I love that you're asking it for the benefit of someone who's been helpful to you in your business and lending you money. And, you know, you're paying them back. They're making money. Obviously, that's why they're worried about taxes and you're trying to help them. That's the right way to build a business and in a good relationship. One idea is ask him if he has retirement account funds. Maybe he's got an old 401k or an IRA that he's buying mutual funds with, getting 1% return, you know, or getting hammered, or who knows, it's up and down. He may want to move that to a self-directed IRA, whether it's traditional or Roth funds. He could do it either way. And then he can start lending to you from that retirement account. And then that retirement account's the lender on your deals, and you're paying back his retirement account. Now when you give him his interest and points that you're giving him every year, and that's just building up in his retirement account. He doesn't got to worry about paying taxes on it. And if it's a Roth account, of course, it's going to come out tax-free when he pulls it out later out of the retirement account when he's in retirement or if he's over 59 and a half already. So that's where I'd go first, is see maybe he's just using the wrong pot of money, you know, and he might have these retirement account funds to look at and use. So that'd be the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is he might just need some good tax planning. Maybe there's some tax opportunity for him in his lending business as he's lending you money or maybe other people. Maybe there's other things he could be writing off or expensing that he's not considering. So that might just be another consideration on his end.
Yeah, and I would say, too, it's hard. For anybody out there that's a hard money lender, being a lender is not a quote-unquote business where you can even take a home office write-off or your cell phone. It's a passive investment process. And so it's going to go on a Schedule D, D as in David, on your tax return, and it's interest income. Now, the nice thing is it's not subject to self-employment tax, but I would recommend to your lender that he get a second review from a tax advisory firm like ours or somewhere, and just get a second opinion. Is there anything else that could be done on his return? And I'm going to throw out one word, chunking. This is a great way for this guy to slowly, year by year, put more and more money into a Roth through what Matt and I call the backdoor Roth strategy. Let's get money into our Roth. We can convert IRA money into a Roth, and I know Matt already referenced that, but more specifically, do it in chunks. And so over 3 or 4 years, he might be able to get the bulk of his money that he's lending into a Roth without getting into a higher tax bracket, and he'll never pay tax on it again. And that could be a nice method. At least give him something to think about. Okay, Matt, I'm going to take an email question, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. We've got 3 or 4 callers in the hopper.
All
everybody
right.
Be patient. We're early in the show. We're going to pull this together. this is from the real estate investor. This is that's their email handle. And
all right.
Questions. And I'm going to – Matt, let me give a shot at him, and then you amend them as needed.
Okay.
The first one was
he said,
I got a hint from a tax-savvy millionaire that said if you have multiple businesses or you own a business and that business contracts services from another business that you own, you will possibly have a lower tax burden due to this. Have you heard of this before? Are there any tax benefits to having multiple businesses that you own that may complement one another, like a marketing business that performs services for your widget business? I'm going to say, and this is for everybody, great question. I say something smells rotten in Denmark. I would say bull crap, wrong, I disagree. Because all you're doing is you may get a write-off in one business, but then you have income in another business. And so you're really just moving from one pocket to the other. I don't think you're going to see
it. And the IRS is going to shake you down and claim the income out of all pockets. So it doesn't matter which pocket it's in. And that, I think, just conceptually, I agree, Mark, on that. I think some people think, well, clearly this person's been successful, so they must know something I don't know. But that that does not seem right. And even smart people that make a lot of money, like Wesley Snipes, do dumb stuff with taxes and can end up in prison. So
yeah.
I tread carefully on that idea.
Yeah. Question two, this is a good one for everybody listening. The SUV deduction write-off benefit. Can you do a simple example with a $30,000 used SUV example? If purchased for business, used and sold after a year, what would the tax liability be, including recapture taxes? All right. Now, for everybody listening, let's set the stage here. In 2018, with the change in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the auto deduction went off the chart. It is better than it's ever been in almost 20 years. For auto specifically, maybe even 35 years. It is amazing. So if anybody out there is debating buying a used or new car this year, or an SUV or a truck, or even an RV that could have business use, you've got to get a consult, read some of our articles and YouTube videos on this. At the bare minimum, I've got longer videos in my tax and legal library on my website. There's so much here. Now, this caller, questioner, throughout SUV. The SUV now with bonus depreciation, with a $30,000 SUV, you could write it off all in 1 year, the year you buy it, everybody, and it could be new or used. And now that's assuming it's 100% used for business. So if it's 100% used for business or it's 90% used for business, whatever that percentage is, you could write off the whole thing. Now, the person says, well, I'm going to sell it a year from now. Well, okay, that's not the goal here. You get a great write-off this year, but the concept here is you're going to keep this thing 2 or 3 or 4 years and then sell it and or trade it in and get a new one. Obviously, this $30,000 SUV will be worth half that 3 or 4 years from now. So you would have to reclaim that gain when you sold it for 15 grand, like it was just profit, and you would have to pay what's called depreciation recapture of 25% on that. Now, some of you may say, well, Mark, if I got to pay taxes when I sell it, why do I write the whole thing off now? It's called time value of money. Think of it this way, everybody. Listen, would you like a write-off from the IRS right now, and you don't have to give it back for 3 years? Would you like some tax savings now? The IRS will write you a check right now, and you don't have to give back the money for 3 or 4 years, and it's going to be on a discount as well because it'll be later worth less that the car you wrote off. So what you're doing is you're getting an interest-free loan from the IRS. That's the concept. Now, if you're going to just sell this car a year from now, it's not as much bang for your buck. You're not thinking wisely here. Anyway, so I just want to throw that out. It's a great strategy, but people, we're not buying and selling cars every year. It doesn't make economic sense either, generally. Matt, any comments on that?
No, but yes, I would take that deal, by the way. I would take the write-off now. Yes, please. Bless my IRS today. I'll worry about it 3 years from now, please.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Good question from Steve. You wanted me to do an email question or – You got a caller.
Yes, sir, and I got a caller after this. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. This is a great question. So Steve wrote in. He says, currently own an S-Corp, and he has it with a partner, it sounds like. I'm just going to add in some facts here because I think it helps. He says, we formed an S-Corp in 2014. However, listening to your podcast, we think an LLC makes more sense with us having our own S-Corps. Says, I also have an IT support company. I think the primary business is an athletic business. I also have an IT support company formed as an LLC and plan to start buying rental properties in the next couple of years. We are established in Wisconsin. Is there a way to convert to an LLC? We don't want to lose our inception date because we received a cease and desist order previously. It looks like regarding a trademark and use of the business name, it looks like. But according to our lawyers, we're good because our use predated this guy's trademark. The question is there a way to convert without losing our inception date and presumably the name that they've obtained? He says, we're planning to get a consult but dying to know. All right. Well,
okay.
You want me to take a shot at this? And
yeah, go for it.
How good are you feeling? Okay. All right. Let me say, this is going to be messy, Steve, because a lot of times when someone's in this position, depending on what's going on, we may say, let's just scrap what you have. Let's don't polish a turd. It's a piece of crap. You set up the wrong thing. Let's start over. Let's just get the right entity and just start clean. And particularly now at the beginning of a year, sometimes we will do that. You have the wrong entity or plan, particularly if you were a C Corp, for example. Let's just get you right in 2019 and just start operating and getting everything under the right entity. Now, Steve, you look like you have an ongoing business. You have a name you've been using that has some trademark protection you're concerned about. Two ideas here. First, and we'll have to look into this in Wisconsin, you can do what's called a domestication of an entity. Sorry, not a domestication. A conversion of an entity with the state where you could convert the corporation to an LLC. And then you could change the election, remove the tax, the S-Corp election you have on this entity, and have it go to a partnership. Then you form your separate S-Corps and have them own this this name. Now, that is sloppy because that's a lot of moving parts, but it can preserve that same name and that same company. I don't know. We may want to look from a legal standpoint whether that's absolutely necessary to do it that way because of this trademark issue. But if it is, and that's what your lawyer you talked to on the trademark says is critical, that would be the option I would go down: converting the S corp to an LLC, removing the S corp election, so it's taxed as a partnership, and then adopting your own S corps to own that now LLC tax as a partnership.
Okay, now let me throw
– You got an alternative? You got a better idea?
Yeah, this is important. Everybody listening, let's take a breath because that was complex. Anybody out there that's operating in a partnership and you're doing an operational business, let's just say your partner's in a restaurant, an internet marketing business, a real estate brokerage, you're fixing and flipping homes, you're a dentist, a doctor, whatever. If you've got a partner, you need to make sure that if it seems clunky, get a second opinion. If you're both in an S-Corp, it's clunky. There's going to be tax savings galore by doing a reorganization. And so be careful being with this accountant that one of you love, that's been your accountant for 20 years, and he's operating in 1985 strategies, and they're going to poo-poo anything Mark Kohler says. I deal with this all the time. I'm a specialist. I help doctors in their partnerships. Well, and then I look at it, and I go, bull crap, this is stupid the way it's set up. And then I prove my point, and they're like, oh, I guess you could do it that way. So people get a second opinion. You could remodel your kitchen with five different contractors and get five different kitchens. Well, you could structure your tax and legal life with five different CPAs and get five different looks. Your accountant is not all-knowing and all-powerful, people. Okay, 2 points. One, we might even do a C-Corp with that S-Corp you have right now and create two S-Corps and do it immediately. Sometimes we have to do that. Matt said you can convert that S-Corp back to an LLC. That can be tricky. Sometimes there's some caveats there. So get a second opinion. We can dive into it in a half hour to an hour call and give you some recommendations. Most oftentimes we tell clients, wait till the end of the year and start the year fresh. But we're still in January here. So we got 11 months to play with. So let's get immediately if you're going to do it for this year. If not, you're going to sit on it because you do not want to make a change in the middle of the year. It's a freaking nightmare. So the sooner we do it now or wait till the end of the year. Okay. We're going to take a live caller here, Matt.
All right. Yeah.
We've got Deborah, a regular caller from Dallas, Texas. Debbie, welcome to the show again. We sure love you. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Matt. How are you? Good talking to you.
Excellent. All right. Is this question going to be hard, though, or are you going to give us an easy one?
No. It's an easy one today. All right.
Okay.
So,
we just came off a hard one, so I can use a break.
No. Yeah. So I just need some clarification. So it's related to the wholesaling business in real estate. So now my understanding is that this can vary by state. So say in Texas, when hiring an acquisitions person as a 1099 and they're not licensed real estate agents, would I need to make them a member or a manager of my company for them to be able to perform this role?
Ooh, good question. Let me take a stab at this. By the way, I just have an article going in the National Association of Realtor magazine on wholesaling and stuff and issues that can be faced. It takes a little different angle than this question, but you're asking from a licensing standpoint, right? Because this person's not licensed, so but they want to make money, right? They're going to go find properties, presumably, and and try to assign them to you or other investors. And but they want to. How do they get paid? I guess is what you're saying. I can't pay them a commission. Do I?
Well, it's more like
what's the question?
A little bit more like, for instance, so having somebody where I can 1099 them for them to make calls for me or take calls from sellers, and of course they would be negotiating contracts, analyzing deals, and basically have them part of my team as an acquisitions person. But since they would be talking to sellers, meeting with them, negotiating contracts, sending contracts for signatures, then, you know, do they need to have some sort of ownership interest in my company if they don't have a license?
Okay. Got it. Okay. That's a little more defined question then. Yes, yeah. This is very state specific. We've looked into it in different states. There's so they can be kind of like an assistant and not performing licensee services. But if they are negotiating on your behalf or your company's behalf and they're not licensed, then they're crossing into a licensed service, I think is gonna, that's going to be the critical part. If they're relaying information, answering people's questions, scheduling stuff, sending paperwork, I'm not stressed. But if they really have ability to negotiate terms, that they're acting as representative and doing licensed services. So, so that's, I think, the problem. Now, adding to your company, I mean, I have a lot of issues with that in your business. Whether you want to do that, yeah, I would say go get your butt licensed before I go to that length. But
yeah, now and here's I'm going to add one last point. We got to move quick today. So Debbie, thank you so much. I'm just going to say thank you again and put you on mute. But we sure love you. Thanks for calling in. Debbie, I would say this too: the person that gets in trouble with your question is the person you're paying, not you. So if someone's running around acting like a realtor, but they're not licensed to be a realtor, they're the ones that are really risking not getting paid. You might say, it's illegal to pay you. I'm not going to pay you. You could screw them over. They're the one that's going to get chased down by the state. So I'm not saying you help encourage this activity. You want to work with licensed individuals as well. But you're not the one exposed here. They're the one exposed. So
it could
if they don't do
your
a good
problem,
job,
though.
You Yeah, I mean, you could get drug into it, but really they're the ones that would get fined, and as long as you're not encouraging it and all that sort of thing. So you want to be careful there. But okay, we're going to keep moving along.
I
got to
drive
this because – oh,
yeah, go for
go
it.
Go ahead. Well,
yeah,
we're going to move on.
Go. Let's move on.
I'm going to call the time of death. that's ER. That was in the 80s I don't, or 90s, sorry.
I remember that one.
ER.
Yep. No, yeah, I remember ER.
And
yep.
That was 90s. I got to get my year, decade straight.
Yeah,
okay,
that
so,
was McDreamy. Was McDreamy in that? Or was that? No, that was another one. That was Grey's Anatomy.
That was
Patrick,
Grey's Anatomy.
Patrick, the guy in Can't Buy Me Love. That's your generation, right? Can't Buy Me Love. Patrick Dempsey. Dr. McSteamy? Or
yeah,
Jamie?
Maybe. Yeah. No.
I don't know.
I was thinking about George Clooney. Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Oh, that's right. There we go.
Now.
All right. Sorry, guys.
All right. Okay, we've got more callers than live callers than usual, and I hope we're going to be able to get through everybody. We're going to keep trying. For those that we don't get to or those that emailed, again, we will give you an email response and try to point you in the right direction. So we're going to do our best today. Sure, appreciate everybody here. Okay, we've got Bob on the line in Austin, Texas. So, Bob, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I always enjoy your show. Got
Thank
a
you.
Question. This past year, I became a first lien holder on a mortgage on a residential homestead property. I'm a private investor, and so I'm not in the business, per se, of doing this, but it's the first note I have. As the lender, and I'm acting until we get a servicing company, I'm acting as the notes, servicer. Which IRS form for 2018 am I required to send to the borrower, and I guess maybe to the IRS? It's either a 1099 INT or a 1098, as best I can tell.
Yes.
Ooh, great question. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, this question, you did send an email, so I wanted to look it up to double check. So neither is my answer. The 1098 is something you would send if you're receiving interest. That's what you would report and say, I've received, interest income, and the borrower would need to get that. But you are only required to do that, and this is you say this in your facts, if you're in the business of lending money. Now, the 1098 instructions even go over some examples. And they say, let's say you're a physician and you loan someone money and they're paying you. You do not have an obligation to do a 1098. But let's say you're a real estate developer and you loan someone money. Well, they say that's part of your business, of your real estate business. It's connected to it. And so you would have the obligation. So as long as you're not in a real estate business or this isn't connected to it, some other business you have, you're not going to have an obligation to do the 1098 and send to the IRS.
I know, if I can add something too, Bob, and gosh, what a great question. And thank you for your compliment about the show. I know we joke around and we're cheese balls half the time, but the other half we're hoping to knock it out of the park. we appreciate you. We try to keep it light. But you know what? Here's another perspective. When in doubt, send the freaking form. Now, Matt is absolutely correct. If you're not in the business of lending on a regular basis, and this is outside your wheelhouse, cool. Don't do a 1098 int. But you know what? Some people say, well, I don't owe taxes, so I'm not going to file this year. Guys, the IRS is like a boyfriend or girlfriend. If you don't give them a phone call once in a while, meaning on an annual basis, and let them know what happened this year, they're going to assume the worst. And you don't want to get that nasty letter in the mail. Now, in this example, Bob is not required to send the 1098, but if it's simple, it's easy. Sometimes it's better to just check the box and send it off. And now I'm not saying, Bob, you need to do that. Just know the rule and you're cool. Mm-hmm. But people, when in doubt, send the form in, file a tax return. Even if you don't owe or something, if the IRS knows what's going on, it's going to eliminate the possibility that they question and your number shows up in some database mm-hmm. because they don't know what the hell's going on. So
when in doubt, fill it out.
Ooh, that's good.
Let's say this. But Bob, you're not in doubt here. Now, the 1099 INT, that's if you're paying someone interest, like your bank, let's say, you know, your bank may send you one because they paid you interest. So you don't got to stress about that. That's not you. The 1098 is what we're talking about, what you need to worry about. But you're not a trader business. There's no doubt on that. The instructions are clear. So I wouldn't stress about you. But I think that's a good rule of thumb otherwise, though, for sure. When in doubt, fill it out. Love it.
Yeah, I like it. Ooh, I'm gonna use that for our weekly message. Well, Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. We'll see you. Keep listening. All right. We're going to stay on the line here and go to another live caller. This is Angelica in Chicago. She has a beautiful accent. So she had to clarify. She goes, this is not a Chicago accent. This is a South American accent. So, Angelica, welcome.
Oh, okay.
That was good. Hi, Mark. I'm Mark.
Hey,
guys.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yes.
Yes, we can. Thank
you
so much.
Oh, yeah. I'm from South America, from Venezuela.
Oh, all right.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's a very beautiful accent you have. We're going to try to focus and concentrate. So
thank you. With all the stuff that's going on in Venezuela, this is a nice
gift for me. Yeah, we can't answer those questions. Man, those are above our pay grades.
Yeah.
So if you got a tax or legal question, we might be able to help there.
Yeah, sure. I don't know for whom is that, but maybe for Mark and for Matt, for both of you. Okay, my question is, I'm kind of newbie, so I'm doing everything that you say, Mark. Whatever you say, I say amen.
No,
I'm doing all the taxes deductions that you're doing, that you show on your radios, on your emails, and whatever, right? And I'm doing everything through you. I did the 401k, solo 401k. Okay, I created a S corporation, right? And I created an LLC because I have a property, right? Okay,
nice.
With the S corporation.
Okay.
I would like to use, I don't know if that's possible, but a lawyer told me that I can do it. Now, I have been working as a self-employed, doing business as a sole proprietor, right? So So I would like to redirect that income to my S corporation.
Mm-hmm.
How I can do that? Because I would like to use all the pass through, the 20%, you know, tax deduction, and you know, I would like to use also the contribution to the solo 401k that I just created. So tell me how I can do redirect my income from the sole proprietor doing business as to the S corporation. I know I had to do the W-9, but in the meantime that I'm waiting for those papers, how I can do that or how I can deduct use all the benefits from the S corporation.
Well, I love it, and I'm going to mute you now so there's no delay, and we'll just answer this. And Angelica, excellent question, and thank you so much for your kind words and using our firm and our services. We really try to keep the cost down and keep it simplified and put it all in one-stop shopping scenario. Also, your comment about, Mark, I just do everything you say. I'm going to give you my wife's phone number, and you can call her after and really emphasize it. That's a really important strategy. So, no, I love
Mark needs backup.
Yeah, I need some backup. Okay, this is great for everybody listening. This is so important. You may say, now, we know if you're listening to the show, we should all be on the same page. We want to use LLCs for our rentals, generally, of course, and S-Corps for our operations. And Angelica says, hey, I've got this little sole proprietorship. She might have two or three business ideas, and she's going to try to run it through an S-Corp. And Angelica, that is what we're going to do, and I'm going to tell you how. But for everybody listening, you may think, oh, well, Mark, Matt, you guys have a law firm, an accounting firm. You probably have five S-Corps. Nope, we don't. I have one S-Corp. Matt Sorensen, I can verify, has one S-Corp. That's all we want. We want one S-Corp to drive all that income. So the one thing I would tell Angelica and anybody else listening, you might have three or four business ideas, two or three partnerships. If it's creating ordinary income, let your S-Corp be the owner. Drive that all that income through your S-Corp. We want the 199A deduction. We want to get our salaries level set up. Angelica has a 401k adopted by her S-Corp. Oh, she's got the perfect machine for this. So everybody, Angelica's headed in the right direction, and we encourage much of the same for everybody. Now, let's say Angelica gets a 1099 from her little sole proprietorship. Maybe she has a little hair salon on the side, or so she's doing some consulting, or who knows what. And she gets a 1099 to her personal Social Security number. Oh, no, the plan's blown up. No, it's not. What we would do is transfer that income to her S-Corp through a simple maneuver on her tax return at the end of the year. Most accountants are familiar with this. It's called nominee income. We just push it through a Schedule C and right out the back to the S-Corp. It's almost like, Angelica, you're going to 1099 your S-Corp. So as long as we show the trail of the money from you back into your S-Corp, the IRS is happy. So until you can fill out a new W-9 and have them directly send the money to your S-Corp, it's cool. You'll survive. And this happens to a lot of realtors. You know, this could be one of our callers that was down in Texas. You know, if you're a realtor down there, sometimes the broker will send you the 1099 and not your S-Corp. They'll drive it through the S-Corp no matter what your broker does. So that's what I'd say. Matt, anything you want to add to on that?
No. What about the question on the 199A that she mentioned? And I was just going to – quick point on that is you're still going to get it. The S-Corp still gets the 199A deduction, just like you would in a sole proprietorship. So don't feel like by running the income through the S-Corp you're going to lose that. In fact, we've looked at it, and you're actually still going to have net tax savings because of the other savings you're going to get in the S-Corp on your salary dividend split and the other strategy there. The S-Corp is still the better fit. Don't stress about that. You'll still get the 199A there and overall get better tax deductions.
Okay. I love it. Well, Matt, before we go back to another live caller, would you have a good email question that you thought was a good kind of cross-section of – okay.
Well, a good cross-section. Oh, I don't know about that. I'll just read it. I'm just going to do it. What are your thoughts on using an LLC that elects to be taxed as a C-Corp as a UBIT blocker for self-directed IRAs? This would be to reduce the tax due from the higher UBIT rate to the 21% rate for corporations. This is from Suhib. I would say I love it. I'm for it. I'm all about that. I don't know about Mark. What's your position on this? what's my opponent's position on this? He's probably fielding a call. I'm sure Mark's for it. This was a because of corporate tax reform. You know, the corporate rate went down to 21%. We were doing a lot of blocker corporations. So, if for those of you that have self-directed IRAs that could get UBIT tax, it's if you're getting business income. There are a couple of areas where you get hit with that tax. It's in my book. I have a whole chapter on it, and I have this blocker corp strategy in my book. But the specific question is yes. In fact, that's exactly what I do when we do a blocker is I actually do an LLC owned by the IRA, and we add the C-Corp election to the LLC, and that LLC starts filing a C-Corp tax return, paying 21% corporate rate as opposed to the now 34% UBIT rate. So you're saving almost 15%. It's a great strategy, only if you're going to have UBIT. If most self-directed IRA people, you don't need to worry about this, but those self-directed IRAs that do have UBIT, this is a great strategy. LLC taxes, C Corp. We set up a lot of them for clients in that situation. So I love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Great answer, Matt. All right. Well, we've got Nathan on the line from Sacramento, California. And Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. So my question is, last year, my S Corporation bought the inheritance right to an estate that was going through probate. I paid $20,000 for that. One of my business partners, who is not a member of the S Corporation, provided the funds. When the estate settled, my S Corp got a check for $60,000. That included the initial $20,000 investment plus the $40,000 profit. And my S Corp paid back my business partner the $20,000 plus another $20,000 of profit. So does my S Corp need to provide a 1099 to that person, and are they going to be charged, have to pay self-employment tax on that, or is it more a capital gain?
Ooh, boy, good questions. Since Matt handled that last blocker question,
yeah,
I was
letting you have this one.
Yeah, thank you,
such
Matt.
Such a good guy.
Right.
Huh?
Thanks.
Such a good guy.
You know, Nate, you're cutting up. Sorry, we can't hear you. Bye. This is a tough one. I would say first the easy part. Let's grab the low-hanging fruit. You need to send a 1099 to this individual for $20,000. Now, if some of you were a little confused on what happened, let's just say this. Let's summarize what Nathan said in general. He made a $20,000 investment, and he ended up with a $40,000 profit. And then the investment portion came from a partner. So he's got to give this partner back his original $20,000, plus they're going to split the 40. So at the end of the day, Nathan ended up with $20,000. His partner ended up with his $20,000 of profit and the original $20,000 investment. Is that fair, Nathan? Did I hit it?
Yes.
Number one, Nathan needs to send this partner $20,000 because Nathan wants a write-off for that. And anybody listening, if you paid someone more than $600 last year, you need to get a W-9 from them. If they're a corporation, you're generally going to be exempt from sending them a 1099. But if you want a write-off, you got to send them a 1099. And by the way, Nathan, those are due by tomorrow. Now, if you're going to be late, at least get it done in February. But they're due tomorrow, and there could be a penalty of like $50 or more, and it adds up by day, by 1099. It's kind of a nightmare.
Okay.
So get it done right away. Get an accountant engaged. Now,
okay. The
second part of Nathan's question was, and this is the harder part, what's the tax result going to be to my partner? On one hand, we'd like to say, well, hey, they loaned $20,000 to Nathan, and they got their $20,000 back plus $20,000 in interest. Oh, just send them a 1099 int or a 1090, you know, that'd be great. Well, guys, it's not really interest, is it? It's really a share of profit. And it would be usury, meaning he got a lot more interest than a normal interest rate would allow for. So that's obviously not interest. So he's going to get a 1099 miss, M-I-S-C. Would it be subject to self-employment tax? I'd probably say no. If I was an accountant, I'd probably drop it into other income on the front page of the 1040. This guy was passive. He was involved just in the role of loaning or investing $20,000. Again, I don't want to go down the loan word, but I'd say he was an investor, which is a scary word. But so he was a partner, but passive, really didn't play a role in the management of this project. So it'd be a 1099 99 myths, not subject to self-employment tax. And my last point, Nathan, is no offense, unless this is your brother or your best friend, it's not your problem. Give him the 1099 miss and hope his accountant figures it out. So that's
okay. And that, and again, it's only for the, and it's only for the profit portion, not the return of principal.
So
great, that helps.
Boy. Okay, never call again. We appreciate it. Listen, but no, I'm sure. Man, I had to work for that one.
I love doing crazy transactions. They're fun.
Yeah, that was a cool deal, though. I'm glad that worked out. You made some money on that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I love making 20 grand, so that's good. Thanks, Nathan. All right. Matt, why don't you hit another email question while I field our next caller?
All right. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to field the IRA questions because that's what I love, and I'm going to play to the IRA crowd. Don't hate me.
Yeah,
don't hate
out
the
there.
Player.
Yeah.
Hate the game. You know what I mean? Okay, this is from Dave. He says, if I have an expense for my IRA to pay and I'm short IRA funds to pay for my IRA, what are my options to pay it? All right, good question. So this is like, you know, let's say that the – let me just elaborate the example to help everyone. Let's say the IRA bought a piece of real estate and you had $100,000 in your IRA and you bought the property for $100,000. So you don't have any money left in your IRA. And – the property tax bill comes up or the insurance payment comes up on it and you're like, oh, I don't have a tenant in there, or I, you know, whatever reason is, you need to pay an expense on the property, and it's the IRA property expense or the IRA asset expense. Now, you can't personally go in and pay it. You know, I don't want you to just cut a check personally to pay it. That causes a prohibited transaction because you have to separate the IRA and its money from you personally. So you have a couple options. Option one, put in your annual contribution. If you can make IRA contributions, if you qualify for that for the year, put in that first. Right now, you can, if you didn't make 2018 contributions, you can still make your 18 contribution of $5,500 on a traditional or Roth IRA. Plus, you can put in $6,000 for 2019. Again, assuming you qualify for those. So that would be option one, is make sure you've maxed out contributions. If you've already done that or you aren't able to contribute, option two is roll over funds. Do you have other IRA funds at other accounts you could roll over to that self-directed IRA to cover the funds? If you've exhausted that option, option three, find a third party who'd be willing to loan you money short-term. And I should say loan the IRA money short-term. You know, you're going to have to pay some interest for that, but sometimes this is a short-term solution. There might be income coming from the property, either from future rental income or sell the property. So maybe find a third party who'd be willing to loan money. You can't loan the IRA money directly. Final option. There is a privated transaction exemption for this option. It's called PTE 80-26. It is super complicated. It's a pain in the butt to do, but it is possible. If you've exhausted all those first options that I gave you, you could rely on this example, and what happens is you actually loan money to your IRA. You have to do it through your custodian, and there has to be a record of it. Any custodian that you work with that does this, it's PTE 80-26. Some of the self-directed IRA custodians are familiar with it. Some of them aren't because, frankly, it's really complex. But that's an option. You could do that and actually loan your IRA money. You have to end up paying it back, and it needs to be tracked and accounted for, and there needs to be a written record of it for IRS rules. But those are your four options.
All right. Man, anything else, Matt? Do you want to throw out any more options?
I mean, I want to be okay. I want it to be comprehensive.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in our last 6 to 7 minutes here. We're going to try to field two calls. We're going to see what we can do. Harry, our second caller on the line, if we don't pull this off, I've got your number here. I'm going to call you right back, and I'm going to try to help you out. Okay, so our first caller here before the end of the hour is Lee from Midland, Texas. Lee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, what do you got for us?
First, I want to say thank you for the Strategic Wealth Alliance. I bought the Total Wealth Bundle, and I like the fact that every video that you updated, you marked that it was updated, so I didn't have to go through all of them to find the new information.
Oh, well, thank you. And you know what? I'm in the studio for the next 3 weeks, probably shooting 20 new videos for that little library. So you'll see a new update I'll put for 2019. There were so many tax regs this last year that videos I shot last January have already been modified again. So for those that don't know this, on my website, markjkohler.com, I've got the Tax and Legal Library. Once you buy it, it's a few hundred bucks. It you have access until I die. I mean, lifetime membership. So I've been doing it nine years now, and I shoot new videos every year, and it's really a lot of power-packed info. Okay, go ahead, Lee. What's your question? Thanks for that little...
Okay, my question is, I've got a cash cow, and it's an S-Corp, and to figure out my income on the Mark Kohler curve thing that you got, do I
take the payroll?
Yeah. Do I take the 20% off of the 199A before I figure my net profit?
Great question. The answer is no. Now, let me tell everybody what's going on here. Lee's got an S-Corp. It's making money. Let's say he's making $200K profit. He may have $400,000 of gross, $200,000 in expenses. It could be anything above that. But once you, what I want the Kohler payroll matrix to do is to help him determine his payroll level. So I'm going to look at the net. And that's the net before the new GOP Trump 199A pass-through thing. So we got to look at what's your net. And if he says, well, my net's $200,000, then we're going to go to the matrix, look at your draws, and find the right payroll. Then we do the 199A on whatever the K-1 is, the net after your payroll. So there's kind of the first net, then your payroll comes off, then your second net, which is going to be the K-1. And the 199A is actually going to come through on your 1040 tax return. And these are new forms that all the accountants are getting familiar with. I'm going to be in Cedar City next week for 2 days in training with my accounting firm. Where I'm going to be training them. We're all going to be training each other and making sure we're up to speed on all the new forms. So that's our current understanding, Lee. This is the first year any accountant's ever had to deal with this. So it is kind of the blind leading the blind, but that's where we're headed right now. So,
thank you very much.
You bet, man. You rock. All right, dude. Oh, great callers. Thank you so much, everybody. Well, we're going to give this a shot.
Yeah.
We got Harry in Princeton, New Jersey. Right, Harry? Didn't you say Princeton?
Yes, I did.
Well, thank you, sir.
Hello.
Okay, now this is a partnership question, so see if you can pose it for us distinctly. It sounds a little complicated.
I have an operational business, which is a notes business. And we're it's a partnership. And a lot of times, going back to that payroll metrics, you don't talk about partnerships, and it's a 50-50 partnership.
Mm.
We were just below about 100 last year. This year, we're coming in probably about 160 after we take either our SEP or our 401k contributions. We were wondering where we fit on that, and would we each take maybe 30 and 30, and then K-1. 50 and 50 to each of us to make it up to 160. We didn't know where the threshold would be in converting that. And that's my abbreviated question given the time.
Okay, great. Matt, do you mind if I field this real quick?
It is the Kohler payroll matrix, so.
Okay, I'll do my best. We've got about a minute and a half here, and I'm going to say this right off the bat. From earlier in the show, you heard it, Harry. When you're in a partnership in an S-Corp, it's not the ideal situation. So we might want to talk to you about splitting off two S-Corps and turning your parent back into an LLC or a C-Corp. There's some benefits to that that I think a 30-minute consult we could explore. That's point number one. Number two, the payroll allocation should reflect right out of the – essentially it should reflect the net as a whole. So I want to see shareholder compensation – officer compensation at the top of the 1120S should follow the payroll matrix on that net. So if there's two officers, I'm going to combine their payroll to make sure I'm in that threshold. So if each of you take $60,000 combined in payroll and then the net is another $80,000, your payroll actually might be a little high. And so I could bring that down. But again, you're doing a SEP, you're doing 401ks, so you might want the higher payroll. So this is going to be the balancing act. And that's why the S-Corp can be clunky in a partnership, because one partner might have a different motive than another. It's a tough one. So anyway, Harry, great question. I might give you a call right back, but I want to tell everybody, thank you for listening, and we're going to be back next week for another show.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.